We'll go ahead and get started with our race-winning press conference. We're joined by Tyler Reddick, driver of the number 8 3 Cheese Chevrolet for Richard Childress Racing. Tyler, you got your second victory of the 2022 season. Second win on a road course, too. How does it feel? And in Indy, how does it feel?
It feels pretty dang special, I'm not going to lie. Well, the last guy that was up here was about as short as me. That's good. Yeah, it's pretty special. Oh, it's my boss? Oh, well, wow. He's a little bit taller than me, but who knows. Yeah, it was very special. I'm not going to lie. I've watched a lot of racing at this venue as a kid growing up. A lot of really incredible drivers have won at this racetrack, and it's really, really cool to be a part of the group of drivers that have won here. I'm really happy about it, and hopefully I'll be racing here again next year, and I should be racing here next year, but hopefully winning again next year, and I'm excited to race here and some other things too. I'd love to do that.
Okay, we'll go ahead and open up to questions. We'll start here in the front with Bruce, and then we'll work our way around the room.
Bruce Martin with Speed Sport. First question, you got a great restart at the end. Was that just a matter of your timing, or was it AJ was starting to fade a little bit physically, needed some help afterwards from the heat, his cool suit quit working. But if you could just describe the restart and the key that was to your victory.
Oh, every restart, once we had some cautions that were very important. I'm not going to lie, I saw drivers like Austin Cindric and a few others at the end of practice do some monk restarts. And, you know, as the race progressed, you know, I thought I had found the limit on the restart braking zone. It's much different than what the normal braking zone is on a green flag lap. So thankfully I never overexerted and it went past that mark. But, you know, we had pretty good brakes on our car all day long. Could be pretty aggressive on that front and was able to, you know, defend because of the good brakes that we had on our car and then also kind of be aggressive with the car that we were racing in the front row beside me.
Were you getting a little bit of a push from behind by Blaney?
Yeah, I got a good push on that last restart by Blaney. You know, I don't blame him. He was really trying to do a good job of timing the restart to get a good run on me and then maybe be able to defend what was happening behind him as well. So because of that, the second to last restart, Chase and AJ got a really good launch because they were committed to pushing. And it got Chase kind of in front of me going into turn one. So I had to really, really nail it on that braking zone. And then unfortunately, you know, he kind of got it turned around and the rest was history from there. But thankfully on that last restart, he gave me a good push. I was able to kind of fade to the inside. He was getting put in an interesting position by Daniel Suarez. And I saw that in my rear view and I kind of faded to the bottom with him. So we kind of stay together and push. It worked out really well.
And then what was your reaction when all of a sudden Chastain goes blowing through turn one and the next thing you know, he's right next to you?
It didn't seem like real life. I was like, what? I was waiting to see what was going to happen with that situation because, you know, I think I had Jim Pohlman say, hey, you know, he's probably going to get penalized. Well, damn it, Jim, like, Star Trek reference right there. I mean, he's going to get penalized isn't good enough. Like, I need to know if, you know, I didn't know for sure if he was or wasn't. So, I was trying to race him as hard as I could, but I saw Austin Cindric was right there. And if you get battling side by side and in certain sections of this racetrack, you can really hurt lap time on both drivers and allow third place to catch up. So it was kind of a complex situation for a couple seconds there, but thankfully I was able to get momentum on Ross in a pretty convenient spot and make the pass for the lead and then check out from there.
Can we go back here in the corner?
Tom McCabe, AP Broadcast. Surviving two restarts as you did is pretty darn impressive. Just your thoughts on being able to accomplish that.
You know, when I was at Road America, it was a pretty straightforward kind of old school race. You know, well, you know, we never used to have stages, but I mean, if it wasn't for the stages, we wouldn't have had a lot of cautions at Road America, and they were the only two cautions we had. So the race kind of played out naturally. And because of that, it kind of became a race just between me and Chase. And, you know, as the race was unfolding there, you know, Chase got back to second place, and I was kind of curious the pace he was going to run. right before that caution came out, you know, he was running about a tenth or two faster. So I was like, it's like Road America again. I'm going to have to push really, really hard and hope I don't make a mistake. And we didn't. We ran a really fast lap. I think we're about five tenths faster than he was. And I was like, okay, we're in good shape. And then the caution came out, and I was like, well, you know, I wasn't prepared for that. Yeah, I mean, I guess I was prepared for it, but, you know, I didn't anticipate it. And I had to be perfect on my restart. You know, I kind of had to make sure that I was a little bit aggressive at blocking drivers to the far right going into turn one, because it seemed like that would work out in the first couple of rows for those drivers making that move. But thankfully I did, and, you know, was pretty good in the braking zone to hold them off too.
Come up front, and then we'll go to Jerry and Lee and Dustin.
Hi, Tyler. Rob Peters with the Indianapolis Star. This was the first race where the next-gen car raced at this racetrack. Comparatively to the other road course races, they all have, you know, decent elevation changes. This place is completely flat.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew, but there was a lot of cars just spinning off, going all over the place. There were only full course cautions in the last stage, but throughout the first two, there was a lot of cars going all over the place. Having driven last year's car and then this year's car at this racetrack, what are some of the big differences? Like, is this car more difficult to drive, or is it harder on parts, or what do you think about this car?
Well, certainly with this car, the edge is much sharper. It's like a cliff. With the old car, it was a bit more rounded. You know, you could get up to that edge and slide past it and bring it back. I think with this car, if you can harness if you can focus enough, you can get to that edge and not crash past it, but it certainly is happening much quicker than it was with the old car for a number of reasons, whether it's the physical body on the car, how it's shaped, there's less quarter panel, how the diffuser works, and then, you know, the sidewall of the tires being different too really plays a role in that. So I just think, you know, with a flat track like this and how this car gets, yeah, I wasn't in dirty air for many laps today, but certainly it was a pretty big difference whether you're in cleaner or dirtier. So I'm kind of glad that we were a little bit on the loose side out in front by ourselves, because it allowed us to work dirtier pretty well. So these cars are really edgy, and it's very easy once you get past that limit that you just end up blowing past it and spinning out.
How did your car perform in dirty
air? I mean, I was pretty loose by myself, and I was pretty tight in dirty air, so it was a bit surprising.
Come up front to Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires .net. So this is the first race since the announcement that you're going to Toyota and, you know, in 2024. Did you feel more compelled? We know you're not that you won.
Oh, well, that I won.
That you
yeah.
won.
Or
yeah.
No, I guess it'd be the third, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just what that you won. Sorry, I left out a word. did you feel extra compelled to show Richard you're not laying down? Because, I mean, you haven't laid down. There's two races before here. But does that give you some, hey, I'm here for you guys to bring home checkered flags?
I mean, nothing had really changed from the announcement other than, you know, knowing where I'm going to be in the next, you know, year and a half. My commitment level, if anything, probably is a little bit higher. But, I mean, we're not talking like it's a significant amount higher. I just know that we've had time to continue to work on our cars and make them better and grow as a team and go the right direction. And now it's like, all right, we have a hard stop. This is the end of the road that we have together. And for me, that puts, I think, a good amount of pressure on me to just keep finding more, because we're always trying to bring the best that we can to the racetrack. But when we know that the end is, well, I mean, it's not really close, but I mean, we know when it's going to be, we got to take advantage of every single moment possible. And I hope, I feel like at least for me, it's a good thing. It really makes me push hard, and I think it's making the team push hard. We're all really, really working really hard together to give it every last ounce that we have out there and win as many races as we can.
He said, when I asked a similar question to him, he said that, you know, he went and talked to the crew of the team and said he's committed. And, you know, then he followed up later with someone else's question saying that you're there next year. And, you know, obviously y'all are chasing championships.
Yeah, no, that's what we're going to try and do. I mean, it's really nice. We won two races this year. We got some good playoff points in our back pocket. But, you know, we would like to win other tracks other than road courses. But, you know, we'll win where we can for now. we've certainly had potential to win it in a number of places, in a number of different places. So we'll just keep working really hard, and hopefully in the coming weeks we can win some more races, get some more playoff points, and put our team, you know, point speaking and mentally, confidence-wise, in a really good place going into the playoffs.
Okay, let's go over here to Lee, and then Dustin, and then we'll come in the middle.
Two questions. First of all, what did it feel like to see Bo run across the yard of bricks to see his daddy?
I'm really glad he was awake. I knew he was going to be awake this time around because we had hung out with some 3G folks till, I mean, a little late, not like crazy late. Like we called it quits at like 10:30. We had some fun hanging out, eating tacos. This is their home track, if you will. You know, their headquarters are pretty close to here, so. A lot of people that work here are really, really close to this area, so it was fun hanging out with them last night and getting to spend time with everybody. So I knew we kind of had a late night, so I knew he was going to wake up a little bit late. So I knew that he wasn't going to get tired around this time, so I knew he was going to be awake this time around. So thankfully, he was awake, and he was running across the track and into my arms. I was really pumped about that.
And then how much confidence do you think the Road America win gave you? Because to get two wins in a month, I mean, you know, let alone get your first win, but then to have the second one come within a month, I mean, that's pretty sporty. I mean, it's almost like the floodgates have kind of opened and things are clicking.
They definitely are clicking. I mean, if I'm honest, though, I mean, when you look back at the Charlotte Roval last year, we had a great opportunity there. We missed out on it. Coda, we were like, all right, here we go. And then it just poured all day on Sunday, and we were like, We didn't know what to do about that, right? That really throws for a curveball. So these road courses have been our strong suit for a while now, and we've just continued to harness and make our cars better. I mean, gosh, we've really been good at a lot of places. I just even Loudon, you know, that's probably the worst run we've had in a while. And I mean, Loudon, we were a great car, but we were just making little mistakes on pit road on pit road. I mean, I was like sliding through my box, trying too hard, and we kept losing like 5, 6, 7 spots because of my mistakes. And I mean, really, we're really doing a good job right now. We're clicking. I think we can, even on tough days, finished 8th or 9th in the top 10. So I mean, that tells you that tells me that we're doing a lot of the right things and we're in a good place.
Let's come up here to Dustin. Then we'll go to the middle and over to Jordan.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. A couple questions. And I'm curious, Tyler, I know you guys have talked about, you know, getting through the announcement for the last few weeks. And I'm curious, do you feel like you have to prove anything to anybody beyond just proving, you know, being a good race car driver or so forth? Has the last 3 weeks changed anything from that perception or feelings on your behalf? Because certainly it's kind of been a seismic thing that's happened within the team and the organization.
I don't think it's necessarily a matter of proving things. It's a matter of this is the time we have left. And like I kind of said earlier, we've been working hard to build to being a race-winning team. Whether it's at short tracks, mile and a half, road course, whatever it be, it seems like road courses have come our way faster than the other places. So for me, I just look at the time that we have left, and I know that I always give it my all, but certainly knowing that this is when, you know, this is when the end of the road is going to be. I need to do everything I can to win as many races as possible for this group because, you know, I wouldn't be the road course racer I am today if it wasn't for RCR, if it wasn't for the people on my team, if it wasn't for Chevrolet. So I owe it to them. I owe it to my team. I owe it to the people that really have helped me to get that done and go out there and deliver for them. So certainly, if anything, it's helped. You know, Just like when Alexa told me, you know, hey, if you win the championship, you can name our son. Like, there's not always times when I think I need an extra motivator because I don't know if it's possible or if it's out there. But when I get them, I take it and run with it. So for this situation, knowing when my last day will be with RCR, if anything, it's probably motivated me more than I thought was possible before, all this went in motion.
And also, I'm curious, this is the second year in a row that at the end of the race, a car has cut a corner. This situation was different than last year's, but again, could have had a potential for a situation where the presumptive winner gets knocked out and somebody else wins the race. How do you address this situation? Is it something like if you blow the corner, it maybe should be just an automatic stop and go? Or how do you look at it as a competitor? Or are you more comfortable with officials having, to some degree, maybe a little bit discretion to examine the situation? Does it need to be a hard and fast, or are you more comfortable with, maybe a little bit more discretion on officials examining something like that? Because it's like you could have been wiped out, and we could be talking to somebody else after you got wiped out by somebody who was penalized.
Well, I certainly like to have this conversation first with NASCAR, then with the media. But I think looking at how today went and how some of our racetracks that we've had, the potential trade-offs for cutoffs or blowing through a chicane or whatever it is, like Charlotte Roval, and what the penalty is or what you have to do is, hopefully we can learn from this situation and try to make the cut through a little bit slower so the driver doesn't have as much of a time gained, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I haven't looked at Ross's SMT, but it looked like he pretty much decided that was the route he was going to go. But the ruling by NASCAR is that they don't gain a huge advantage or whatever the term might be. It's acceptable. But in their eyes, he gained too much of an advantage, and it cost him a really solid finish inside the top 10. It's kind of open for, discussion, open for interpretation, right? So hopefully going forward, especially when we come back to here with this track and how that chicane is, or the cut through is kind of designed, we can make it to where it's a little bit slower, to where no matter if you hit it absolutely perfect, it's costing you at least 2, 3, 4 seconds to where this situation doesn't happen again. Because I don't blame Ross for making that move, because as a competitor, looking at how the rules were set forth, if I'm in this situation, I want to do everything I can to win the race. So I don't blame him for trying to take advantage of it. So it's a shame that it went the way that it did.
One team had mentioned to me that they felt like you really wouldn't lose a whole lot if you kind of went through there. They kind of examined it. As part of the pre-race studying that you've done, is that what you guys and notice is like, look, if we have to go through this, we're in not as bad a shape, and we can come out.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the amount of cars that were getting wrecked in 1 and 2, I mean, the risk is way higher to go through 1 and 2 normally than taking – the cut through. So I don't blame him for doing it, but again, it's the rules that were set forth for the race, and somebody was able to somewhat take advantage of it. So hopefully we can all learn from it and make it better. Certainly NASCAR doesn't want it to be the way that it was, where they had to make a decision and penalize him for what he did.
Okay, let's go right here in the middle, then we'll go Jordan, and then over here in the back.
Dale McFadden, FrenchRich.com. Two questions. Tyler, first, when did Ross enter your field of vision?
Right in the middle of turn, I think it's at the apex of turn 3. I was kind of cornering, and I heard Derek come on the radio in my ears, don't mind the one, he's, doing whatever he is. He probably said some other not so nice words, but I mean, he's the moment, right? So I look over and I'm like, I could say other words, but oh no, there's Ross. What do I do? And he got on my right rear really nice, and as much as I wanted to go through the chicane side by side with him, I'm like, if I screw up and fly my right side tires over the inside curb, I could get a penalty. I don't know if I'm racing him, I don't know if I'm not. So it put me in an interesting spot. I wanted to pass him, but I also didn't want to penalize myself in trying to get around him. And it was just kind of a weird situation. The way he was behaving in the car, driving it, I didn't know if he was trying to motion me by, and then I thought he was, and then again in the corner I realized, oh no, he's not. It was just a very weird situation. And then with Austin Cedric, as close as he was, it just made the whole situation that much more dynamic. I mean, I was trying to figure out how hard do I race Ross, and do I race him so hard that I allow the two to get close to us, and just trying to weigh all those things, because if I wasn't racing Ross, he could run in front of me all day long as I kept Austin behind me. But if I was racing Ross, I had to get around him, and I just needed to weigh those things in my head. How hard do I race him?
Second question. How soon after you made your announcement a few weeks ago, how soon did you get a chance to talk to Richard? Was that
Well, we got to talk before the announcement was made, but we really didn't get – we haven't really spoke much until today since the announcement was made. So, thankfully, the wind smoothed some things over, I think. You know, I've told him that as long as I'm racing here, I'm going to do everything I can to win races for this team, and I would love to win a championship or two with this team. I'm going to be more committed as – I feel like the older I get, right, the smarter you get, the more you find ways to work really hard. And I'm just going to work as hard as I can for this team because there's a lot of great people on this team, a lot of great people at ECR, and a lot of great people that, not just on my car, but at the shop at RCR that work really, really hard on these cars. And they've helped me come so far as a driver. I'm just going to give them everything I got.
Let's go back here to Jordan and then...
Chase, are you enjoying that food back there? Chef's kiss. Which one did you get? Nice. Okay. Sorry, who's next?
Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, I can't hear you that well. Turn it on or scream. Yell. Jordan, you can yell. Yeah.
So Randall and Richard both said up and down that they kind of addressed the team and kind of said, hey, we're going to put it together and that kind of thing. Wondering if you had to address the team right here, if you had a message to them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got to talk to the team before the announcement was made. And, you know, certainly it was tough. You know, I don't think everyone was expecting it. Or many were expecting it, but again, it was the situation we were dealt. I just wanted them to know that I was going to continue to be committed to them and that I was going to work harder than ever before or work as hard as I have been because the things that, you know, Brian Bottomley, who's on my pit crew, he does a lot of the brake stuff on my car. There's a lot of people that do a lot of different things, not just pitting the car and just all the different people that sometimes come on the road or sometimes don't, but stay at home. Like, they've done a lot to help me get better as a driver, and I just wanted to let them know that, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to win as many races with you guys. You know, I'm looking at this as, like, I don't have all the time in the world to figure out how to be a better driver. I need to be better now so we can go out and win as many races as possible together.
And then the second thing is you said you and Richard really haven't spoken much, and, you know, winning hopefully kind of secure all, I guess. Wondering if you guys had any opportunity to kind of speak in victory lane or anything since then.
I mean, yeah, we got to shoot the, you know, the whatever they call it, and get some bricks, drink some champagne,
of
his champagne, drink some beers. And
did he say anything to you? Did you say anything to him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm glad to add to his Brickyard collection of rings and wins, you know. He's already had a couple of them before me, and I'm glad to help add to that. I want to add to everything I can possible with him before, you know, my time is up.
Did it feel normal? Like, it just, like, there's
yeah.
No... Okay.
Yeah. Winning helps.
Let's go right here in the back.
Tyler, you mentioned at the start of the press conference that you've grown up watching a lot of great drivers win here at this track. I'm curious to know if winning on the road course today felt any different than you might expect it might have been growing up, assuming that if you were going to win here during a Cup career until a couple years ago, that would have been on the oval.
I mean, I had a great opportunity in front of me to potentially win here in Xfinity car. It just didn't work out. You know, I ran second to my teammate Justin Allgaier, and then the following year, me and Randall brought up, I mean, a bullet of a race car. I remember it perfectly. It was Anderson's Maple Syrup number 2. It was fast. It was a rocket ship. But me and Christopher Bell, like we did most weekends, we were racing really, really hard. But unfortunately, this one, we collected each other and we just, I mean, destroyed our race cars. It was actually my Homestead car. It totaled it. And that was a tough one to swallow because we had a good car to win there and totaled my Homestead car. And side story, we went to Texas later on, and me and Chase Briscoe kind of were battling a restart, and I totaled my Homestead car, my second Homestead car, the second time, and we had to rush the Homestead car through the doors for the championship weekend, a brand new third car. I had 3 brand new cars all year in that championship season, with RCR. And the first one I totaled here, the second one I totaled at Texas, and the third one, thank God, survived and won the championship.
Okay, come back here in the middle.
You had a lot of restarts today where you were at the front, and then...
I see it. I was like, where are you?
Yeah. And then you had a lot where you were kind of in the middle of the pack, and we saw those got really crazy. Can you describe what your thoughts are and what just the general goal and what you're trying to do to navigate around that big pack?
I'm not going to lie. I wish I had a switch to turn my camera off on the back of that dang car, because I can't tell you how many times, like when AJ flew up into the sand in turn 3 and 4, or when Chase spun out, or I think it was Blaney that spun out on the final restart, I was just like caught looking in the camera like I was a kid watching the best of the best race in front of me. Like, I got to drive my dang car. I got to stop looking at this camera. So I wish I could turn the thing off sometimes. It captures way too much. So I would hit a really good corner, but I would get so caught up at what was happening behind me, I'd lose track of what I was looking at. So I don't know. The camera's great, but sometimes I wish I could turn that thing off, because I get too caught up in what's going on behind me sometimes.
When you were leading and on those restarts, did you find yourself looking at that camera a lot too?
Like after I've apexed the corner and, you know, I'm kind of accelerating and I don't have to, I don't know. Maybe if I didn't look at that thing at all, I'd run faster laps, but I don't know. I kind of would look in the camera from time to time and kind of gauge my gaps and see, you know, every lap after lap, like in turn 1 or in turn 13, kind of looking at my gaps, kind of gauging if I've made gains or not. But, you know, I have Derek and I have Randall and I have a lot of other great people tell me what the gaps are, but I still seemingly look in the camera to kind of see myself.
Okay, let's come up to Tucker and then Dustin. The orange.
Out of gas.
Tucker White, Last Word on Sports. First, an easy question here. How does that champagne compare to your boss's vineyard products?
How's what?
The champagne that I assume that's what it is.
His is way better by far. Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Now, the more difficult question here. So, even with the late restart, you basically had this race in check. So, if I'm misinterpreting, did you ever feel like you really didn't have this race in check?
Yes. Every single restart, I don't take anything for granted. I mean, I knew I was going to have to work really, really hard on every single restart to win this race. And then when I saw Ross come flying back on the track until, you know, the decision was made to penalize him, I didn't feel like I'd wanted it at all. So I just had to go out there and work hard.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go over to Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. With getting the pole yesterday, track position so pivotal, for as good as you are on road courses, again, I know you don't take things for granted, but did you feel like that this was an opportunity to be in control?
Yes, absolutely.
And how did that explain that mindset going into this event, as opposed to if you'd been starting 25th or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, how you approach pit road, how you approach your pit road entry, you know, you've got a really great opportunity. Even if the last thing you want to do at a place like this, when you have the pole, when you have that great pit stall, is go 105% on pit road or pit road entry and have a penalty. So because of the hard work we put in on Saturday, I knew that, you know, as long as we just played it 90% on pit road and pit road entry into the box, that, you know, and honestly, how with the strategy worked out with the guys I was racing, they were having to stay plugged in longer to get fuel than I was. I mean, it kind of worked in our favor to kind of be just on the safe side. But as I've kind of discovered with this car, you know, I've really pursued getting in the box as hard as I can, and then I slide through, but then I still whole pit stop down. And with this car, you know, getting in the box is important, but more than anything, you know, being consistent and stopping a little bit short, that consistency there allows your pit crew to really jump on top of it and really execute a good pit stop.
And I know you said you kind of didn't feel like you were in control when you're in the middle of the pack on those restarts and things like that, but throughout the race, did you feel like you were only having to worry about maybe a couple different drivers?
Yeah.
Or how concerned were you with, like, whether it was Blaney with that strategy, or was it more about Bell, or was there anybody else? Because it seemed like it was about, I mean, it seemed you clearly had the best car, and it was just a matter of if something didn't happen to you, this was going to be your race.
I mean, I was a bit alarmed by the amount of people that were able to make the two-stop strategy work. Certainly, you know, restarting, I think we're in eighth or ninth. I think it was eighth because it was in the outside row. I was a bit concerned because, you know, the first time around when it was just three or four cars that did that, it was pretty difficult to get back to the lead. I, in fact, never did before the pit stop cycle occurred. So I knew I had to really push hard on that final stage three restart, the stage three restart we had, not the final restart. So I knew I had to be aggressive. I knew I had better tires, and I needed to really maximize braking zones to really put the other guys in bad spots, and it worked. But I didn't know which car I was going to be racing, but I just knew whoever got the good restart and got out in front that was on the older tires was the car I was going to have to run down and race. And thankfully, you know, I was able to be a little bit better than Christopher was in the braking zones to really not allow the dirty air effect to really hurt my car.
Okay, let's wrap up here with Jerry up in the front.
So, Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net. I saw one side of your car, but I didn't see the other. Did you get hit at all? Because there wasn't a lot of any marks or damage that I could see.
Yeah, I made some pretty significant contact with Cole Custer, and for a couple laps, I was like, oh no, like, the car's not driving the same, but I just turned that switch off in my head and just went back to attacking the track, and who knows? Maybe we bent something a little bit, but I mean, it didn't kill the race car. So I mean, the last thing that a driver should do is after contact just jump on the bandwagon of, oh no, the car's ruined, making mistakes. So I just, you know, if I made a little bit of contact, whatever. Just got to keep attacking and making the most of whatever the car will give you.
And since you brought up the camera, have you thought about like some tape and some cardboard or something to cover it up?
Well, if it's a dim switch on the camera, I think I could just like have a dim switch setting to where it's either full brightness or 0% brightness to where it's basically off. I might do that.
Okay, Tyler, thanks for coming in, and good luck in Michigan.
Thank you.